Come on all over the church if you will. Bless his name. His name is above all names. And in his name every knee must bow, every tongue must confess that he is Lord. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. He has blessed us to see this wonderful day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We are to rejoice and be glad in it. It's good to be alive, alert and active. Blessed us beyond enumeration, be it. Blessed us beyond our deservance. And certainly he is a great God above all gods. And he's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Telling that today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Why I thank him. You say my soul. You say my soul. You say my soul. How many of you that he brought out? You brought me out. Ooh, you brought me out. I just want to thank you.
Come on. Come on, without the music, I want us to say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Come on, I don't hear you.
Thank you, Lord.
Come on, I still can't hear you.
Thank you.
Come on, if you have something to be thankful for, bless him today. Bless him today. Bless him today. Thank God for navigating our niches and allowing us the privilege of being participatory and present in this place today. Thank him for a portion of health and strength, allowing us to have hands to lift voices to praise his holy name. Thank God for these preachers and the persons of Reverend Redwine, Reverend Mims, Reverend McCoy, Reverend Skipper. Thank God for our sisters who have devoted us by way of song, scripture, prayer, and song. Thank God for the male chorus who has labored to till the ground for the seed of God's word. Thank God for the environmental safety team, deacons and trustees. Thank God for the media ministry. Thank God for all of you. It's good for us to be here. Yes, it is. It's good for us to be here. Reverend Van. Amen. So good to see Reverend Van. Amen. Good to have you in service. Amen. Along with his family. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. My. The Spirit of the Lord is here. I can feel him in the atmosphere. If you fail to see and fail to hear, it would be nobody's fault but yours. For the Lord is here. He said, wherever two or three are gathered in his name, he's in the midst. And I thank God that he's here. My coming is not in vain. Your coming is not in vain. He's a God in the midst of us. And he makes the difference. You can come one way and leave another way. He's a doctor in a sick room. He's a lawyer in a courtroom. Let me see, can I break that down? If you're sick, you can leave healed. If you're in trouble, he's the only one who can work it out. Yeah, he's a friend to the friendless, a mother and father to the fatherless and motherless. He's the great I am. He's God all by himself. And I'm excited today. I'm excited today. Yeah. This is a day of praise and worship. Day to lift his name. Amen. I'm excited today. Revelation chapter 3, beginning with verse 7. If you have it, say amen. It reads this way, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things said he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my name, and hast not denied, hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will come, or I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. That's the word of the Lord for the people of God. The word is blessed. Say with me, if you will, the faithful church. Look at another and say, the faithful church. Come on, shout with me to the virtual audience and say, Philadelphia, the faithful church. Amen. Philadelphia is one of two churches that receive no condemnation from the lips of Christ. It is Philadelphia and Smyrna who were considered faithful, good, pleasing to God. This church at Philadelphia was on the edge of a great plain called the Burnt Land. It was a great volcanic city, a plain, which bore the marks of the lava and ashes of extinct volcanoes. The city of Philadelphia was built in a dangerous volcanic area, located 28 miles southeast of Sardis. The city experienced earth trembles. It is stated in 17 AD, the city of Philadelphia was partially destroyed by an earthquake. Although the city was not completely destroyed, it experienced earth trembles daily that caused many of the citizens of Philadelphia to fear and flee the city, moving to the outer parts of the city, living in makeshift huts, and some even moving to other neighboring cities. In spite of the city's hardship, it was called the city of praise. The city was founded with the deliberate purpose of being a missionary city of Greek culture and Greek language. It was built strategically where the border of Mysia, Lydia, and Phrygia met, so that missionaries could go out from the city into these provinces. It was in and of itself a pagan city, in that it too gave way to idol worship. It was in this city that gave way to idol worship, God situated his church so that he would have a voice among the people. It is considered to be a little Athens. For those of you who are familiar with Acts 17, it is in Athens that Paul confronted the superstition and the idol worship of the people there. It is for the same purpose that God situated this church right in the midst of Philadelphia, because he wanted to and he wants to confront idol worship, pagan worship, superstition. The church was to spread the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The church was in love with God and devoted herself to the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me pause parenthetically to say to us that if you love God, if you love Jesus Christ, you can't help but talk about him. I don't understand this new age church that say they love God, say they love Christ, but very seldom speak of Christ, speak of God. You talk about who you love, and you love who you talk about. They were devoted to Christ and they were in love with God and devoted herself to the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, as we look at this particular church, there are three things that necessitate our attention that serves to strengthen our little faith in times of testing. First of all, notice the claims of Christ. Verse 7, these things said, he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts. The three things Jesus Christ mentions of himself. The first thing being that he is holy. The word holy means separated. He's different. But not only does it mean he's holy because he's different and separated from men, Jesus is holy because he is absolutely without fault or failure. He is pure. No man is without fault or failure like Jesus is. Jesus Christ is in a class all by himself. He's holy. Look at somebody and say, Jesus is holy. He's holy. He's holy. He's pure. He's without fault. He's without blemish. He is holy. And no man is pure like Jesus. See, to call Jesus holy is to say that Jesus shares nothing less than the divine existence and being of God. It is only Jesus who can say, according to John chapter 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. The word one in Greek is the word hen, which means one in essence. One in spirit, one in core, one in nature. He is holy because he's God. He's so holy that the angels incessantly say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And when we get to heaven, we'll join the angelic choir and call him holy. But listen, you don't have to wait until you get to heaven to know he's holy. You can know he's holy on the earth. Because the Bible says he's holy. Christ, he reveals himself to the church at Philadelphia as holy, but not only as holy, but also as true. And the word true means that Jesus is real and genuine, as opposed to a lie, unreal, phony, or imitation of God. He's real. He's trustworthy. He's dependable. He's not a false God of the heathens. Jesus Christ is absolutely true and authentic. He said in John chapter 1 verse 9, he's the true light which lighteth every man that comes into the world. He says in John chapter 6 verse 32, he's the true bread. Verily, verily, I say unto you that Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. He's still bread, the true bread. And if we were in the old church, church of yesterday, yesteryears, they would say he's bread in a starving land. He'll satisfy. He'll quench your hunger, your spiritual hunger. He'll satisfy your spiritual desire. He's bread. But not only is he bread, true bread and true light, he's the truth. We live in a world of subjective truth. That everybody wants to see truth as they see it. But that's not absolute truth. Jesus is absolute truth. He's truth with no mixture of error. He's truth that's truth eternally. He's truth that's everlasting. In other words, he's the same truth thousands of years ago as he is now. He's truth, regardless of what you think. He's truth, regardless of your opinion. He's truth, regardless of science. He's truth. And he's the only one who can say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Not only is he truth, bread, light, but he's the true vine. And he said in John 15:1, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. He's the true vine. He's the truth. He's the true bread. He's true light. But not only does he reveal himself as true and holy, he reveals himself as the key of David. Christ is the one who grants entrance into the presence of God. In the Old Testament, there was a promise to David that he would always sit up on his throne, but it was not David, it would be his seed. Christ came through the lineage of David. And he sits upon the throne. And he's the only one who can give entrance into the presence of God. See, this saying is quoted from Isaiah 22 verses 20 through 22. You remember Eliakim, who was the faithful servant of Hezekiah? The king had given Eliakim a key to the royal palace so that no one could enter into the doors of the palace or come into his presence except through Eliakim. Jesus says much more than Eliakim's privilege of granting entrance, I am the entrance granter of the Father. That you can't come into the presence of God without him. Listen, I know what the world is saying, that there are many ways unto God, but there's only one way. I know that's offensive, because, you want more than one shot at it. You want more than one avenue. I know that's offensive because, you don't want to give yourself to Christ, but he is the only way. And if you expect to live eternally with God, you're going to have to go through Jesus Christ. How do you go through Jesus Christ? You have to go through Christ by putting your faith in him as your Lord and Savior. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. It is Peter in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, says, neither is there salvation in any other, for is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He reveals himself to the church at Philadelphia as Christ who's holy, Christ who's true, Christ who is the key of David. He gives his claims, but then he challenges the church. And I thank God that he always challenges us, that he doesn't leave us to become complacent and satisfied in accomplishments, achievements, success of the past, and even success of the present. He challenges the church at Philadelphia by saying to them, stay faithful. That's a word. Y'all ought to help me preach it by looking at somebody and say, stay faithful. Come on, look at another man and say, stay faithful. It's a challenge. In the midst of the chaos and the confusion, in the midst of the conflict, he says, stay faithful. Verse 8, he says, I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. For you have a little strength, and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Jesus offers himself to the saints of the church at Philadelphia and all who will come to him as an open door. An open door. Hallelujah. A open door. Jesus himself is the open door. You remember in John 10:7, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. It is in ancient times that the sheepfold had no gate or door. There was only a small opening in the wall so that the sheep could enter and exit. And at night when the sheep were gathered within the fold, the shepherd would lay in the passageway and none could come in and none could go out. He is the door. But I like the fact that he says that he's an open door. He's not a closed door. He's an open door. And an open door means several things. First of all, it means that he's a door of unlimited resources and blessings. He's a reservoir of blessings. Listen, regardless of how hard times are, regardless of how tough your situation may be, you have to understand that what you need, Jesus got it. He is an unlimited resource. And unlimited in his blessings. But not only is he unlimited in resources and blessing, an open door is an opportunity to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:12, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was open unto me of the Lord. Listen, man may not like it, but ain't a thing man can do with it. Because if God be for you, he's more than the whole world against you. And when he opens the door, no man can shut it. I thank God for every open door to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I've been privileged to preach all over this United States and even on foreign soil. He opens the door. And when he opens the door, you go in it and preach it. He's a door of unlimited resources and blessings. He's a door of opportunity to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he's the door that leads to the presence of God. John 10:9 again. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the door. And by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. It gives the provision of Christ that he leads us to spiritual places to be satisfied and fulfilled. We shall find pasture. David comes into this. He tiptoes into the premise of this preaching assignment, and he said, the Lord is my shepherd. And I shall not want. Come on, y'all ought to help me boast on him today and brag about him. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. And I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And if a sheep is laying down, it's indicative of the fact that he's full and satisfied. We are not up walking around like a worried sheep looking for something to eat. We got a good shepherd. Somebody here ought to be a witness that we find pasture because we're led into the presence of God. Hallelujah. He reveals that he's an open door. Why is it we need an open door? Why is it we need Christ to be an unlimited resource and blessings? Why is it we need him to be an opportunity to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and a door that leads into the presence of God? Here's the truth of the text. He gives three reasons mentioned in verse 8. For Jesus offering himself as an open door. First of all, he says, we need an open door because we have little strength. See, it's just the opposite. The way of the world, you know, in the world, we want to be considered strong and having it all together. We want reasons to brag and boast of ourselves. But the truth is, we are weak. We have little strength. Come on, help me preach. I want you to say of yourself, I have little strength. Come on, help me preach. Say, I have little strength. Come on, help me preach now. Say, I have little strength. And if your neighbor is not saying anything, I want you to point that Baptist finger at your neighbor and say, you too. You're not strong as you pretend to be and as you make out to be. You don't have all of the strength you claim to have. You have little strength. It's not an insult. It's not a rebuke. He gives this statement that they are small in strength because they had little influence on the culture.
And the church was persecuted by the Jews who were stronger, according to verse 9. And this is true about all of us. We have little strength. On our own, we don't have immense strength. We have little strength. Little strength reveals dependence on Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus is saying the church at Philadelphia had little strength of their own. Therefore, they depended greatly on Jesus Christ. He says, I have opened unto you an unlimited strength and blessing because you have little strength. Depend on Jesus Christ. That's the word from verse 9. Depend on Jesus Christ. Paul helps us with this. Paul was caught up into the third heaven and he received a revelation of Christ that was too much to utter. And except he be exalted above measure, a thorn was thrust into his flesh. You know, we want revelation, but we don't want the thorn. See, revelation without the thorn leads to arrogance and pride. He received a thorn in his flesh to buffet him, to polish, to keep him humble. And he prayed about it three times, the removal of that thorn. Lord, remove the thorn. Lord, remove the thorn. Lord, remove the thorn. Lord, remove the thorn. Some of us go beyond the three times. You know, we just keep on begging God to remove the thorn. Lord, remove the thorn. And God says, I'm not going to remove the thorn because I want you to know something about you. And I want you to know something about me. He says, I want you to know you're weak, but when you're weak, I'm strong. Somebody here ought to be a witness. See, you didn't make it to where you are by your own strength. That's why when you come to church, you ought to be praising God and giving him glory and thanks, because if it had not been for the strength of God on your side, you wouldn't be sitting up in here, and now you sitting up in here as if you brought yourself from a mighty long way. You didn't bring you from where you were to where you are now. The Lord did it. Look at somebody and say, he did it. Weak. We ought to boast about how weak we are. Because when we do that, we showcase the strength of God in our life. He says, you have a little strength. And he says, I have given unto you an open door of unlimited strength and blessings. Not only are you little in your strength, he says, but you have kept my word. Now, here it is insinuated in the text, opposition, persecution. Because to keep something means that you kept it against something. He says, you have kept my word. Here it is, the certainty of temptation. Verses 9 and 10. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I love you because you have kept my word about patient endurance. I will keep you from the hour of trial. that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. See, he allows trials and temptations to come to show us who we really are. See, all of us can brag when we are on the mountaintop, when we are living life in the ease of life. But what are you saying of God when the winds are blowing, the rains are descending and beating upon you? What are you saying of God when you are in a storm, when trials and trouble are all around? What are you saying of God? He says, they have kept his word. He talks of those who are of the synagogue of Satan, the Jews. And these Jews did not love God. They did not love the church. They loved themselves and their power and their self-righteousness. He says they are of Satan. In other words, they don't belong to me. Let me help you. Because a person dresses up on Sunday doesn't mean they belong to him. Let me help you. Because they walk in behind you or in front of you doesn't mean that they are of him. Because they wave their hand, jump and buck, doesn't mean that they are of him. You can do all of that and still belong to the synagogue of Satan. He said, they don't love me. They don't love Jesus, nor do they trust in Jesus. He said, they have set themselves against Christ in his church. But let me help you. You know who they are. Here below. Weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Come on, y'all ought to help me. Yell to the Lord. Yes, he loves me. Yes, he loves me. He's constantly showing the world that he loves us. But not only that, he says that I'm having a covenant with you, that you have kept my word, and I'm going to do something special for you. Number one, I'm going to make you a pillar. Remember, Philadelphia was troubled with earthquakes. Pillars were built to support the buildings, and they were 5 by 5 meters wide, and those pillars could withstand the quakes. See, the reason you're still here lifting up holy hands and praising the Lord, because he has made you a pillar. He has built you to last. He has built you to endure. See, the devil thought what he threw at you years ago would have taken you out, but you're still here. You ought to shake somebody's hand and say, neighbor, I'm still here. I've been through the storm and the rain. I've had some earth trembles, but I'm still here. My last trouble, thought it had taken me out, but look at me, neighbor. I'm still here. Not only will he make you a pillar in the temple, he says, but you shall go out no more. In other words, no one can come in and undo the work of the Lord. He's reigning in your life. You don't have to worry about the Lord being anything different. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I got to leave you now. He's going to give us a new name, which means that we will have association with the Lord and God. He will make us his children, and he will place upon us the mark of God. I thank God that I belong to God. And if I didn't have this jacket on and this shirt on, I would show you my shoulder where he has branded me child of God. I thank God for a new name. I thank God for a new city. A new city. We have permanent citizenship in God's kingdom. I'm on my way to heaven. And ain't a thing the devil can do about it. I'm on my way up high. I have to stumble sometime. But that's all right. I got a new residence. I'm a citizen of God's kingdom. And nobody can turn me around. The winds blow and the rains beat upon me, but it can't turn me around. I've been lied on, but it can't turn me around. People have dug ditches, but they can't turn me around. I've been stabbed in the back and even in the chest, but I can't be turned around because my record is up on high and my citizenship is with God. You ought to shake somebody's hand and say, I'm on my way home. It ain't a thing you can do about it. But not only do we have the name of God, the name of the new city, we have a name of Jesus Christ, which means we have a new status. I may not be all that I ought to be, but I thank God that I'm not who I used to be. I used to be a sinner on my way to hell, but I thank God for the blood of Jesus, because now I'm no longer a sinner. I'm a saint washed in the blood of the Lamb. How many of you thank God for your new status? If you thank God for your new status, you ought to stand on your feet and thank God for washing you in the blood of the Lamb. I'm a saint. I'm a child of God. I'm a relative of Jesus Christ. I thank God for Jesus. Well, Reverend, where did the blood come from? Well, one Friday, he went up on a hill called Calvary, and he let them pierce his hands with nails. He let them ribbon his feet with spikes. He let them press a crown of thorns on his head, and he let them pierce him in his side, and out came blood. Thank God for the blood of Jesus, because I got a new status because of the blood of Jesus. Somebody knows that Friday he died. He died until the S-U-N refused the sun. He died until the moon dripped away in blood. He died until the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. He died until a centurion said he must be the Son of God. He died out on that cross. But I thank God that's not the end of the story, because Sunday morning had to come. Do I have any Sunday morning saints? Early. Come on, shout back with me. Early Sunday morning. Early.
early before the rooster could crow, early before the women made it to the tomb, early an angel came and rolled the stone away, and Jesus stood up on resurrection Saul and said, all power, heaven and earth in my hand, let me ask you my question, and I'm going to my seat. Ain't he alright? If you know he's alright, let me hear you say, yeah, 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 yeah.
Stay faithful. He keeps talking about overcoming, overcoming, overcoming. It's tough. It's troublesome. But he says, stay faithful. Overcome, and he will give you. He will make you a pillar. Which means that you're built to endure it. You got everything in you necessary to survive it, to make it through it. Don't you listen to the chatter of Satan that's constant to say to you, you're not going to make it. Hear the word of the Lord. He made you a pillar, which means you can make it through the earth trembles, the earthquakes, because he built you for it. He knows your strength is little, but is exactly where he wants you, so he can give you his strength, his power, so that we don't walk around bragging and boasting about ourselves, but we'll boast and brag on him. We made it to this third Sunday, October 2021, because of him. It wasn't how careful we have been. It's not because we're smart and intelligent. We have done everything right. But it's because he strengthens us. He has given us everything necessary to make it through the storm. Listen. He says, I'll give you the name of my God. We belong to God. He has branded us. He says, I give you the name of my city. You have permanent residence in this new Jerusalem that Revelation 22 talks about, that there was a new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. But the old will pass away. He's going to get rid of the impurities, the improprieties. It's going to be a city without fault, failure, city without sin, city void of the human sentimentalities that we have, because he's going to give us the name of Christ. And in giving us the name, it means that we'll be associated with. He will change our status. I'm not much to look at now, but wait till you catch me in heaven. This old body that I have, it tires. It wears. Have to take medication. Hair is thinning. wait till you catch me. In heaven. I'm going to have a new body. Won't have to take any medication. Matter of fact, the new body that I have won't have an expiration date. It would be fit for heavenly dwelling. He changes our status. He gets rid of the sin. I think about what Jesus said in Revelation, that the day is coming that he will wipe all tears from our eyes. It's not that he will have a giant handkerchief and wipe every eye in heaven, but what he's going to do, he's going to remove the stuff that makes you cry. This new city, new name. Listen, if we overcome, I want to open the doors of the church. And if you're here and you're not saved, you have heard the promises, but you need to receive the promises by accepting the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. By making him Lord of your life, Savior of your soul, you have all of the promises that were given in the Bible. The promises that's mentioned in Revelation 3, verses 7 through 13. Come today if you're not saved. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with your heart and confess him with your mouth that he is the Son of God. He died and he was buried. God raised him again from the dead to pay for your sin debt. If you can believe that, come and receive him today. Secondly, if you're here and you're in need of a church home, and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem Baptist Church on your heart, come. We want to be a faith family to you. We want to share with you mutual love, mutual respect. We want to share with you. You know, as we grow together, we want to share that moment that you watch me grow and I watch you grow. We watch each other grow and celebrate God for growth that he gives us in Christ. Come today. Thirdly, you need to be restored. Come. 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 The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Come today. You ought to be praying all over the church that some lost soul would be saved, that some backslider would be reclaimed, and an unchurched soul will receive a family. Come. Y'all ought to be praying as I'm extending invitation. Come. I say come. These preachers say come. Say come. Trustees say come. The male chorus say come. Bless you today. Bless you today. The Lord said come. 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 Bless you today. Come on. Come on. Come on. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Y'all help me pray. Help me pray.
Yes.
Come on. The doors, the doors, the doors.
Yes,
Hallelujah.
For the Bible tells me so. Yes, Jesus.
Those of you who are watching virtually, you too can become a member of our church. Contact information is on the screen. Please write us and let us know how God has moved upon your heart.
Hallelujah.
We have Sister and Brother Mickens coming by Christian experience. Amen. That means that you have already accepted Christ. Okay. What we want to do is we want to assimilate you into our church by way of orientation. We have orientation on Tuesday at 4:30 to 5:30. And we have four sessions. And the purpose of it is again to assimilate you in, to let you know about our family, and to know about you, to find out about you what it is that the Lord is leading you to do, because we believe that the Lord has called all of us to work and to get our hands busy. He says that we are to grab a hold of the gospel plow and not look back, but cut the roads straight. So we want to help you live the best Christian life you can for His glory and your good. Will you join me in orientation? All right. Well, she will get your information. And we thank God that He has led you here. We look forward to many days of shared ministry, shared responsibility of our Christ for His glory and our good. Y'all be blessed. All right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Y'all have anything? Y'all want to say? Thank you. Thank you. All hearts and minds clear, let every soul stand. May the love of Jesus Christ, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed today.